join me in a spirit of prayer. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I suspect that some of you saw the title for today's sermon and you thought of the movie Up. Am I right? I know this Brian did when I gave him this barber or something. That's good. So I'm not going to be talking about Carl and Ellie Munch, but this is the kind of passage that gives a preacher the heebie-jeebies. Frankly, I wish I had taken today off for my birthday, but I'm here with you all. I'm glad to see you. But this is a really tough passage, and I'll explain why in a few moments. Well, I'll explain to you now. There is no way to explain what happened. It's that simple. Jesus could not have been raised up into heaven the way Luke reports it in Acts. Think about it. Have you ever lost hold of a balloon and watched it soar up into the sky? It makes its way up, and ultimately you can't see it. This passage is suggesting that Jesus was lifted up into heaven, and he took up like a rocket, although I don't know if he went that fast. But just imagine Jesus going up, you know, from the ground, up into the sky, into the clouds, through the stratosphere and the troposphere, and ultimately out into outer space, and he keeps going. Now, if you think about the geography of this lesson, if he was taken up directly into heaven, that would suggest that heaven is somewhere above the Holy Land. We couldn't go up to it from here. And of course, there were some beliefs back then about the nature of the cosmos, which don't jive with what we know today. So there were people who believed that there was a dome over heaven. There was a dome over the earth, separating us from heaven. We know that dome doesn't exist. So I could spend the next 20 minutes talking about all of the physical aspects of the story that don't work. But I'm not going to do that. I will, however, call Luke to task and wonder why he didn't get a better copy of it. Because you may remember that Luke was not only the author of the book of Luke, but also Acts. And in Acts, he reports that Jesus was taken up in a cloud. There's no mention of that in Luke. Now, maybe he figured out he needed to tell the story better. I don't know. But I do know that Luke wanted to ground the story in Scripture, in the Hebrew Bible. And you may remember that Elijah was taken away by God at the end of his life. Tradition has it that Moses was taken up by God at the end of his life. There's no evidence of how Moses passed on the face of the earth in Scripture. Elijah, we hear this story. True? Who knows? And then we have the story in Acts. But Luke wasn't writing factual history. He wasn't trying to give us a document that would give us all of the data points that we might turn to. Instead, he's telling us something about Jesus and something about God. So, what are the disciples told to do? They are told to go and spread the word around the world of the need to repent and to turn to God. There's nothing there about telling people they need to live their lives following a certain moral code. There's nothing in there about who you should have loving relationships with. There's nothing in there about your right to hold a gun. There's nothing in there about economic policy. Instead, there is that basic Christian teaching to repent and to turn to God. So that may not be satisfying. You know, maybe you did want an explanation of how the ascension took place. But I can't tell you that. I'm going to have to ask you to take it on faith that God loves us, that God took Jesus back up into his care. And perhaps it didn't unfold the way it's told in Scripture. Now, I suspect some of you have seen science fiction movies or fantasy movies, and you could imagine the story unfolding with special effects. No? I know some of you have watched Star Trek. And this is going to be a completely non-theological observation. But did you ever wonder why the crew of the Enterprise beamed up and down from the spaceship down the planets? But so back in the 1960s, the people who were making Star Trek did not have access to computer-generated imagery. They had these models. And they figured that having the Enterprise land on planets in every episode was going to cost too much for them to do. So someone came up with the idea of a transporter, which I vaguely recall involved some sparkles that were dropped down in front of a tray, and that made a transporter effect. Would this story have had any more impact, any more meaning to you, if Luke had described Jesus being taken up into heaven in some kind of stage directions? No. And that's why I told the kids this morning, Andy, that it was really important to ask questions if you're a person of faith. We cannot accept everything we are told. It may sound strange for a member of the clergy, but the authors of Scripture had an agenda. And their agenda was to win people over to the gospel. Now, I'm sympathetic to that agenda, but that doesn't stop me from asking questions. And this may seem a little bit off topic, but it's not. But last week, John Scott and Rachel Silver and I were at a meeting of arts organizations here in Lebanon. You may not think of our church as an arts organization, but we are. We have a lot of great music that takes place in this sanctuary. And we were talking about DEI issues and diversity, equity, and inclusion, and that then morphed into a discussion about pride. And June's going to be Pride Month, and there's going to be a big Pride picnic taking place across the street. And they were talking about how neat it would be if different organizations could sponsor that, promote the event. And the conversation went on for a while, and I finally raised my hand and said, you know, I feel uncomfortable in a discussion like this, because I have no idea as to what everyone else in the group thinks about it. Now, I can hear my bias in it, but that's not what I wanted to do. And the fact is, I don't think the people who are all about hate and banning and shutting people out are the church. And I'm pleased to say that John Scott agreed with that, and ultimately our church council did. Because the immigrant banner that we have in front of the church, and we've hung with great pride for a long time, is going to be coming down. And we're replacing it with a banner that says, all are welcome here to participate in the mission and ministry of the church and to experience God's love. All are welcome. Now, that shouldn't be a big deal. But I'm sure somebody somewhere is going to have an issue. And we had some cranks down in Boston who gave us phone calls back when the Black Lives Matter protests started taking place. And I suspect they will not be big fans of this banner. But that's their problem, not ours. If we had a bunch of gay people join our church, that would be great. I don't care whether you're gay or straight or somewhere in between. God's message is for all. It's that simple. I know I say that over and over again, but it bears repeating. God's love is for everyone. Now, it doesn't mean that God doesn't get upset with us and that God doesn't want us to lead better lives. But God still loves us. And frankly, God doesn't want us spending lots of time discussing how the mechanics of Jesus' ascension worked. Because if we do that, we're not spending time on issuing the call for repentance and telling people about God's love. So if you look at the passage, it seems like there's a distraction placed in it. I don't think that's the way God works. God is not trying to distract us. The authors of Scripture weren't trying to distract us. We should just read the part about the mechanics of the ascension and then move on to what really matters. God's message. Today's story is in many ways the completion of the Christmas story. So you remember back then, God came down to earth in the person of Jesus, and now God has returned to heaven. But God doesn't leave us alone. God's Holy Spirit is going to descend upon us, and we'll be observing that next week at Pentecost. That's a big deal. And my hope is that you will feel that. Because God's Spirit comes to each of us, not just to 11 or 12 guys following Jesus around 2,000 years ago. God loves each and every one of us. And God is calling us to do the work of the church today, in this place. And yes, it's a beautiful day. And if I were to be ascended up into heaven, it would be nice to go up with a sunny sky. But my hope is I'll be here on earth for a long time to come. And that during the days I have left on this earth, I will do the work God wants me to do. And my hope is that you all will do the work God wants you to do. And that working together, we will do the work that God wants us to do. So we'll be the church. We'll be a place of love. We'll be a place that takes care of its neighbors. That's a pretty good message. That's a pretty good mission. Would you please join me in prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for giving us challenging scriptures, some of which are frankly very puzzling and confusing. But we thank you for giving us the opportunity to discern your will and meaning. Help us to do so as a community in faith. In Jesus' name we pray.